Welcome to Puentes Bridges to the Community. Hello, I'm your host, Emily Guerra. My guest on this edition is the Communications Manager of the New Mexico Farm and Ranch Heritage Museum, Craig Massey. Hello, and welcome to Puentes.
Hello, and thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Tell us a little history about the museum, why it got started, and how it's a bridge to the community.
Okay. Well, the history of this museum goes back a lot further than the actual building and the structure. Talk about creating this museum began in the 1970s. Dr. William Stevens, who was the New Mexico Department of Agriculture secretary, began talking about this and getting dialogue going back in the early 1970s. The idea of creating a museum to preserve New Mexico's agricultural history, and their slogan at the time was "So the future may know." Also, Dr. Gerald Thomas, who was at Texas Tech at the time, eventually came to New Mexico State University as the president. And Dr. Stevens and Dr. Thomas, you know, shared this vision. And so they started bringing other people into the conversation, talking about ways to get this done. Eventually, in the early 90s, legislation began with Governor Bruce King. And construction didn't start until, I think, ground was broke in 1995, 96, right in there. It took a couple of years to build this enormous place. And we opened in 1998.
And you've been with the museum for 15 years?
Yeah, I was about a year old when I started, and I started as a volunteer. I think that's what, you know, most of us who work there share is a passion for the place, and a lot of people have worked there as volunteers before they became staff members.
And what is your passion for the place?
Well, like a lot of people, if you go back, some families it's one generation, some it's two or three or four, but we all have farmers pretty much in our background, or ranchers or some type. So for me, it's a family thing. I have agriculture in my background. My grandparents farmed, my father farmed. I grew up on a farm in eastern New Mexico. So, you know, occasionally I have a picture on my wall in my office of my great-grandparents. And so sometimes I look at that and I think about, you know, what would they think if they knew that there was going to be a museum that honored their way of life, their heritage, their hard work, and all the things that they used to do. I think they would like it, and I think they would be humbled by it. So that's what I look at, is all these generations, all these thousands and thousands of people in our state's history that had ideas that were innovative, that worked hard, and they struggled. And this is a museum dedicated to them.
And you do have different themes throughout the museum, different exhibits throughout the year, or are they standard exhibits?
We have both. We have permanent exhibits. I should say long-term exhibits. They're going to be there from anywhere from 10 to 20 years. And most of those have to do with just solid agriculture, farming. We have equipment outside. We have equipment inside. We have artifacts, pottery, tools, that kind of thing. But we also have changing exhibits, and a lot of those are fine art exhibits such as photographs, paintings. We have quilts, and we rotate some of these temporary exhibits like every 4 months. So there's always going to be something new there, whether it's a new lamb or a new calf or a new exhibit. So if you haven't been there in a month or two, and I mean, you're going to come back out, you're going to see something different.
And you cater to a lot of the students. You get a lot of student tours. Tell me about how they react.
That's a big part of our audience, and I think it's an important audience, are the school children. And it's this time of year. We're in our school tour season right now with April and May. And, you know, every day there's several hundred school children that come out there on the school buses. And we actually have a program where we have bus scholarships. We have a Farm and Ranch Heritage license plate. It's part of the state license plate system. If you buy that license plate, it costs $37 extra. 25 of those dollars go to the museum, and it goes into our bus scholarship program. When these school groups take a school bus to the museum or to any field trip, they have to pay for the bus, and it's not cheap. So we have this bus scholarship program, and so a lot of these schools and a lot of groups are using this scholarship to come out to the museum. So, you know, when you see the school children come through, it's fun to see their enthusiasm. Of course, they're always glad to be out of the classroom. But when they're around animals, when they're outside, when they're learning, looking at tours, or looking at the different artifacts we have, it's a real positive thing.
And do you have school buses then that come not just locally, but from throughout the state? Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, we
that?
Have groups coming from, you know, far away as Silver City. Of course, Deming and Alamogordo come, Holloman. And we have a lot of El Paso schools that come up. You know, there's a state line between us, but we share a lot of the same heritage and a lot of the same background. So we have a lot of groups in there coming up.
And how do the local farmers who have been farming around here react to the museum?
Well, they're very big supporters. We have a Friends of the Museum group that supports a lot of our activities, our educational programs. And we encourage, you know, the people that are in agriculture to be a part of that. And it may not be quite as exciting for them because they see these things all the time, the tools, the tractors, the cattle, but they understand the importance of it. And I think when they see our educational mission in action and see these children going through the museum, it makes it all worthwhile.
And there's several events throughout the year going on. You just had the Cowboy Days?
Yes, we have that every March. It's sort of a dedication to our state's ranching heritage. We have cowboy music, we have chuck wagon cooking, we have all sorts of demonstrations like roping, different things that cowboys do, horseshoeing, that kind of thing, and a lot of interactive activities. And, you know, you're not just watching things. I mean, the children can ride ponies, they can ride the stagecoach, they do crafts and that kind of thing. So Cowboy Days is our longest annual event, and it's our biggest annual event. And we also have an event in May, on May 15th each year, called Blessing of the Fields. And this is sort of an age-old cultural event that's been going on in this valley for a long time. And so we have a priest come out and we do a procession around the museum property, and they bless the animals and the crops and the trees, that kind of thing. And we have some bread at the end of it and some music. And it's a brief event at 10 a.m. on May 15th. It's something that we all really enjoy being a part of. In July, on the third Sunday in July each year, we have Ice Cream Sunday. It's actually held on National Ice Cream Day each year. That's basically just an ice cream day. It's a Sunday afternoon, and we have an ice cream sandwich eating contest for different age groups, and that's always a lot of fun. We have prizes. We make a lot of homemade ice cream. We have films. We have educational components, living history. So that's a lot of fun. In October, usually the third weekend in October, the third Friday and Saturday, we have Ghosts of the Past. It's not necessarily a Halloween event, but it's near Halloween. But this is a showcase for our living history program. And you know, living history is just sort of what it says. It takes the visitors back into another time, and you get to interact with historical characters from a different time. We have staff members and volunteers who research characters and then portray this character. These are actual people, you know, that lived in New Mexico. And so when the visitors come through, they get to talk to them, and the character tells their story. And this is held at night. These are guided tours. It's a different atmosphere, a different feeling. It's a lot of fun.
The museum also has, you can go and have events there. I understand there's weddings sometimes there.
Our role in the community is varied and diverse. We're more than a museum. We have a catering contract, and Dickerson's Catering has the contract now, and they do weddings and they do banquets, all sorts of fundraising events, meetings, anniversary parties, anything you can imagine. So, you know, a big part of the population, Las Cruces and the surrounding areas, have been to the museum for some of these events. So that gives us good exposure as well. And so we're a little bit of everything. But we have a beautiful venue, a nice facility, and we're just glad to be part of the community.
How many paid employees do you have?
We have about 27.
And then You have volunteers all year round?
Yes, we have close to 100 pretty active volunteers, so we wouldn't be able to do it without them. This is a dynamic place with a lot going on. We have the cattle and a lot of different kinds of animals, the sheep and the goats and the horses. We build most of our own exhibits. We're dealing with the public in a lot of ways. We're leading tours, and so we're always looking for volunteers, and we wouldn't be able to do it without them.
You have a website as well. Can you tell us about that?
Yes, it's farmandranchheritagemuseum.org, just all written out. I think most of our information is there. We update the upcoming events regularly, so you can see what we have coming up. We have a culture series. It's actually a lecture. We call it the culture series. We have it every second Thursday of each month at 7 p.m. in our theater. And that's something to sort of keep track of and look at on there. But you know, if you go to our website, it's got all the basic information, and you'll learn a lot about our museum there.
And on this cultural series, you said it's the second Thursday of each month?
Yes.
And what's coming up?
In April, we have an author and historian named Lucinda Sachs who will be down and talk about New Mexico during the Depression. And she has written a book about Clyde Tingley, the former New Mexico governor. So she ties that into the story of what New Mexico was like during the early 30s and how the New Deal affected New Mexico in that time period.
And do you recall your family talking about that?
No, I asked my grandmother once. We called her Granny, and I asked her once about, how did you get by? The times were so hard back then, and, you know, during the 30s and 40s, and they didn't have much, and they made do with what. I remember her answering. She just said that, you know, we didn't know they were hard. You know, you look back now, and you can sort of see how difficult it was, but at the time, we were surviving, getting by, we were doing fine, and they just didn't realize how hard it was, I think.
I think that was true of most of the farming communities, wasn't it? Because those that didn't belong to the farming communities did suffer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think everybody suffered, and some people probably handled it better than others, and and a lot of it's just outlook and that kind of thing. But I thought it was interesting that she didn't know it was hard. She didn't know it was rough, but when she looks back 40, 50 years later, she can see, wow, that was, how did we do it? But at the time, they didn't know.
They would grow their own vegetables, sure, and fruits, and then had their cows and chickens and everything else.
That's right. It's a different time.
The tours of the children, right, are very important. And do you think that they know where their food comes from? And right, so do they explain to them?
Yes,
do they get to touch?
We're a history museum, we're an art museum, but we're most of all, we're an education museum, I think. And history's important. I think it's important to know where we've been, where we're going, and it's also important to have fun. So when you see these children going through the museum, you see the smiling faces. You know, history can be fun. Education can be fun. And yeah, they do learn where their food comes from. They get to watch a cow being milked. We do that in the dairy barn, and they get to line up on the bleachers there and watch. And one thing that's really interesting to see is, you know, we talk about this in our mission statement, is the connection of generations. Actually, the first exhibit we had, the first permanent exhibit at the museum was called Generations. But the good thing to see, the nice thing to see is, and I've seen this several times, is a grandfather and a grandson or grandmother and granddaughter going through the museum, and you'll hear the grandfather say, you know, this is something that I used, this is what we used, pointing at a specific tool or an implement. And we had this on my farm. And the grandson is watching and learning in it. You see generations connecting, and that's a great thing.
So that's beautiful. So the museum is located?
It's on the southeastern edge of Las Cruces. It actually used to be out of the city limits, but we're part of the city limits now. We're next to the new Centennial High School. So if you go out on University, it becomes Dripping Springs Road when you go east. It's about a mile and a half past I-25, so it's there by A Mountain on the north side of Dripping Springs Road.
And you're open 7 days a week?
Yes. We're open Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., and on Sunday from noon to 5 p.m.
And they can make arrangements for special events and
sure,
for special tours as well?
Yeah, just call the museum if you're planning a wedding or an event like that where you rent a room or rent part of the museum. They will send you onto the catering operation, which is separate from the museum. But we give a tour rate for groups over 10 people. If you just want to ask questions, find out what's showing, that kind of thing, look at our website or feel free to call.
And what is the future of the museum?
Well, like I said, we're always changing. There's always going to be new exhibits. We'd like to expand. We have 47 acres to work on. One thing that's coming up fairly soon is we will have an exterior fence that goes around the property. You know, we were out on the edge of Las Cruces for a while, but we've had houses next to us, and now we have a high school on the other side of us. And at some point, we're going to be surrounded by city, and we understand that. And so we're going to have this exterior fence, hopefully within the next several months. And then we'd like to create some more outdoor exhibits that show some of the structures that New Mexico had, like a ranch house, that kind of thing, an adobe building, that kind of thing.
Do people donate equipment or donate old farm equipment also?
Yes, you know, the donations, we have so many artifacts. We have a collections room that has 10,000 artifacts in it that are not even on display. So we try to rotate things in and out and get as many things out to see as possible. But we're always looking for new things, and there's a lot of things that we have plenty of, and there's some things that we could use. I know that they usually mention the Spanish colonial time period. It's a rare thing to find something from that time period, but that's one era of objects that they're always interested in.
But the most that you have is probably from the 30s and 40s?
Right, yeah. It's mostly from the 20th century and some from the 19th century, but it's before then that the things are become difficult to find. We have some things on loan. We have a lot of nice things on display. We have an exhibit right now on the Cañada Alamosa, which is an amazing archaeological site in west central New Mexico. And this exhibit has artifacts that show that agriculture was taking place in New Mexico as far back as 4,000 years ago. So it's on display right now. It's a great exhibit.
And how long will it be on display?
I think about 3 or 4 more months.
So yeah, that would be the Cañada Alamosa?
Yes.
And that's from where again?
It's in west central New Mexico. It's an isolated canyon. It's such a great location where they found evidence for water, especially, and the different things that the people needed from one generation to the next. But it goes to ancient agriculture and then up through like the Apache and then to the European homesteaders. So it's all different time periods.
And what do you see the future of farming?
It's changing. The family farm is becoming more and more rare, I think. You know, the equipment is bigger. The fields are bigger. There's a lot more money in it, you know, going into it, I think. It's just a different thing now, and it's hard to say where it's going. I think it's just going to be more corporate and bigger.
It's not being passed down from generation to generation anymore, is it?
Not so much. I know our farm, my dad pretty much has retired farming, and my brothers and I are all doing other things. And it just, we were dryland farmers in eastern New Mexico, and we've been in drought for several years now. And it just wasn't going to work anymore. So we all had to find something else to do. And my brother's farmed for a while. But yeah, you're seeing more and more of that, where it's the family farm isn't quite as prominent as it used to be.
So you're saying it's large corporations?
I think that's becoming that. There's more of that.
What type of farming would you see?
Yeah, it's just bigger companies, bigger fields, bigger equipment, that kind of thing.
So you're not getting the field worker coming in from Mexico as much either, right?
I'm not sure about that on the local level. I know they still do a lot of the chili by hand, that kind of thing, and they need the field workers. But, you know, you see these pictures of the old red barn and the chickens and, you know, the clothesline and the little corral with the two cows in it. It's just not like that anymore. There's big dairies, there's big fields with big tractors, big plows, and that kind of thing. So it's just a different thing now.
Well, I really appreciate you coming out and talking to us about the New Mexico Farm and Ranch Heritage Museum. Many people, I'm sure, haven't even been there, living here many years, maybe even all their life. So it's something that you would encourage someone to visit.
Yeah, I can't emphasize enough that we love being a part of this community. We're a museum for all people. And Las Cruces, it's not like Santa Fe. It's a different city. You know, Santa Fe has all these different state museums. They have a built-in museum audience that have been going to museums for generations. I think Las Cruces are learning to love museums, and hopefully we're part of that. And so we love connecting with the community. We love being a part of the community. And like I said, we're more than a museum. You see our blacksmith demonstration. You see a milking demonstration. You see activities. You're not just standing looking at an object or reading an exhibit panel. You're experiencing things, and with our gift shop as well. And I would encourage everyone to come visit us. And like I said, if you haven't been there in 2 or 3 months, you're going to come back out and you're going to see something new, especially in our arts corridor with the arts exhibits. And then this time of year, we have calves being born, and we'll have some lambs later. So always come out and see us.
Thank you again. Communications Manager for the New Mexico Farm and Ranch Heritage Museum, Craig Massey. Thank you.
Thank you, Emily.
You're welcome. For KRWG, I'm Emily Guerra.